Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's off to a good start to their day. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I'm in an undisclosed location, and I forgot my microphone today, and I went back and risked being late to the program because I feel like the rich mahogany voice that comes through this microphone is worth it. So I hope it sounds lovely.
Well, the rich mahogany voice does sound lovely. It was a good decision by you, and you were on time. So those are three good things right there.
How about that? So now I'll mute myself eight times.
That could happen. We'll see how it goes. Nick Keyser, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing great. Glad to have the squad at the Preds game last night.
Yes, Robbie and Rex Road, well represented at the Predators game last night. The Predators win, so they have increased their point streak to 10 games. They are 9-0-1 in their last 10. So before the trade deadline, which is today, officially comes to a close, 19 of a possible 20 points that the Predators have collected. We're going to get into that throughout the show today. Nashville SC with a draw last night to Lionel Messi and Inter Miami. And we'll have our friend Stilly joining the program at 7 o'clock, Teron Davenport at 7:30 today. So, Joe, there's a lot to get into as NFL free agency begins next week. The Preds are in action last night, a big weekend set coming up for them. It's the NHL trading deadline. We got a lot to discuss today.
Yeah, I mean, the locker room last night, I got to say, Kevin Wilson, Preds PR, he told everybody to ask Forsberg about the team he owns beating Messi, and yeah. I don't know, man, he might have jinxed it.
Might have. I mean, it was 2-1 when we walked in the locker room, and then right as we're waiting for Andrew Burnett to come to address the media, Suarez ties it up for Miami, and they walk out of there with a 2-2 draw. So they'll play each other again coming up, but a 2-2 draw. It felt like for Nashville SC scored 4 minutes in. So it felt like for a big part of the game, Joe, they were going to walk out of there with a win. But a little bit of stoppage time, and Suarez gets it done for Miami. And Messi also scored a goal last night, but almost had him. We'll see if they can get him when they go down to Miami.
Messi's goal was sick, of course. In Kevin Wilson's defense, I do think that when he said that, it was 3-1 Nashville SC because they had a goal taken off the board. So
they did.
So, you know, at that point, you feel safe, right? You feel like, okay, there's no way they're going to score two goals. And then they took it off the board, and then Inter Miami tied it. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's too bad. But apparently no walkout, no empty seats. Everybody, it was fine.
That's good.
You know, everybody going to move forward and move on with their lives, and people aren't going to abandon Nashville SC altogether now?
I think so. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be okay. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. I mean, is there some other random tournament where he's going to come back this year and we're repeating this cycle all over again? It's hard to keep up with these tournaments. So we'll see what happens on that front. But they play Miami down in Miami coming up, and the aggregate score, Joe, if they can go down there and win, they'll be in good shape.
So apparently the tiebreaker is whichever team scores more goals on the road. So if they tie but it's 3-3, then Nashville SC advances. If they tie 1-1, then it would be the other way around. How weird is that?
What happens if they tie 2-2?
I have no freaking clue, man. Someone help us out on the text line. Written by WilsonCountyHoney.com.
We'll have to figure that out. I don't know quite what to make of that. So we'll see what happens there. Big sports night last night. Nashville SC in action. The Preds win against Buffalo. Philip Forsberg with a hat trick, his ninth career hat trick in the regular season. And the Predators win 4-2. It was interesting, Joe, because obviously Forsberg played great. Nyquist played great. That top line was outstanding. You know, I thought really it was another game where the top line pretty much carried them offensively, and they had kind of little moments here and there from their other forwards throughout the lineup, but nothing that was really all that sustained. And it felt for the second game in a row, kind of like earlier this year, where the top line was totally dominant and was kind of like dragging the team with them offensively. And for a team, I noticed this in Andrew Brunette's press conference too, and we'll play an interesting clip from him here, coming up here in just a few minutes. But, you know, they won 4-2. They've won 9 out of 10 games. They're on a 10-game point streak. And, you know, Andrew Brunette was talking in his post-game press conference last night about, you know, basically he can feel the game slipping, and they have to be cognizant of that as they're heading into the stretch run here. It was an interesting perspective from Brunette after the game last night.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, I think, you know, last two games he's seen some slippage, so he addressed that without question. Another thing, first of all, yeah, the top line was ridiculous last night. Many shifts of just kind of, I don't know about overwhelming, but really strong play. Speaking of sick, the Nyquist pass to Forsberg for his second goal was sick. Also, it's always interesting. Every single coach who's coached Forsberg since I've been here, whenever he's hot, or at some point during a heater, they'll go to when he plays the power forward game. That's when he's really effective. You know, it's like, it's Brunette had a great quote on it last night. The power, then the skill comes off that. It's funny how, you know, that's a theme for anybody who coaches him. It's like when he decides that he wants to basically bully people, then he's even that much more effective.
Well, and he was certainly effective last night, and a hat trick. He probably legitimately could have scored 5 goals last night. I mean, he was all over the place, and you could tell it from the jump. I mean, he had the shift that led up to his first goal on the power play where, you know, he's deking and dangling around Buffalo defenders and has a chance, gets the puck back to Yossi, gets the puck back to him, and he scores the goal. And it was one of those shifts early on where you're like, all right, yeah, he's feeling it. And when he's feeling it, that's a dangerous place to be for the opposition. And look, Buffalo – you know, Buffalo played the night before in Toronto, and they got in a little bit later than they anticipated getting in with some travel issues in Toronto. And so, I wondered how they would come out. They actually looked a little bit better than I thought they would last night in the game. So the Predators still did a good job of taking advantage of that and getting the win. But, you know, Nyquist, 3 assists, Forsberg, 3 goals last night. You know, Riley didn't get rewarded on the score sheet, but he played really well in the game, I thought. So, you know, it's a great sign that line is playing that way. You do start to wonder if the secondary scoring is drying up here a little bit. You know, Evangelista with a good goal on the power play, great pass from Jankowski, but it's 2 games in a row where there's not been a ton there offensively from the other lines.
Yeah. And again, that's more what the season's been than the other way around, right? Like by quite a bit. So it's not like it's you know, some crazy idea that this would be an issue here down the stretch. So, I mean, maybe that's part of what Barry Trotz was doing yesterday.
Well, maybe so. And the Predators have made some moves yesterday. Yakov Trenin traded to the Colorado Avalanche. So Trenin is out. They get a 3rd-round pick back for him in 2025, and then a prospect exchange basically was what happened between them and the Avalanche. And then the Predators added yesterday Anthony Beauvillier, formerly of the New York Islanders. He's kind of bounced around since then, was in Vancouver. The Predators traded with Chicago to get him. They gave up a 5th-round pick. So Anthony Beauvillier, who played for Barry Trotz, coming in. And on waivers yesterday, the Predators also made a move to sign Jarrett Anderson Dolan from the Los Angeles Kings. He's been a guy that's been, I guess an NHL regular this year. He's only played in 30 games for the Kings. He played in 3 games in the American League this year for the Ontario Reign. So 1 goal, 3 assists, 4 points in 30 games for Jarrett Anderson Dolan. The Beauvillier move is a little bit more of an intriguing one to me because Beauvillier, like I said, played for Trotz with the New York Islanders. He's had some big moments. He had some big moments in their playoff runs. He's a former first-round pick. He's got some skill to him, and he's got kind of a shoot-first mentality. It's not gone well for him lately. I mean, he had, you know, a 20-goal season in 17-18. He was kind of hovering around 18, 17, 15 goals ever since then. He's been kind of a, you know, a 35, 30-point player. And then the last this year in Vancouver had 2 goals, 8 points in 22 games. And then with Chicago, 2 goals, 6 points in 23 games. So not a ton going on for him so far this year. It's an interesting move and a move where You didn't pay a whole lot to get him, so it's a low risk move, but I'm interested to see where Beauvillier slots in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can kind of look at it like it's basically they're opting for Beauvillier in the lineup instead of Trennan, right? I mean, it's kind of a swap for those two,
which is
a little bit more scoring touch, skill, maybe speed. I mean, you know, a little less sandpaper. I mean, is that a fair way to quickly summarize it?
I think so. Yeah, and you know, do I think that this is going to be some game breaking move for the Predators? No. I'm interested to see where he fits and where they decide to put him in the lineup. I mean, my first thought when they got him was, well, just put him next to Novak and Evangelista and give them somebody that shoots and that's got a chance to finish out there. Having said that, like, Jankowski's played really well, and you know, you don't want the line to become a total defensive liability either. So I'm really interested to see when Andrew Brunette kind of sorts through this. I assume that he's going to play in, if not both, at least one of these games coming up this weekend on the back-to-back. So we're going to get a look at what he is, what he looks like, and where he fits in this lineup. But I'm interested to see what happens. And also, I mean, there's the question, Joe, of are they done? The deadline is today. So a lot of moves have been made. I mean, you look around the league, there's not a ton of moves left to be made based on what's happened to this point. Are the Predators done, or is there more to come today?
I mean, Barry Trotz walked by us last night. Based on his look, I think he's got a couple more deals in him. That's just my feeling. He looked like a guy very focused.
A wheeler and a dealer?
Exactly. But, you know, like, again, the retention spot that we've been talking about forever, you know, there's that.
I'm starting to wonder who that's going to be at this point. But, yeah, that is still there.
Yeah. It's there. Can you use it and carry it? I mean, carry is the question, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, look, they moved one unrestricted free agent who they did not come to a contract deal with. So is that the same approach that they're going to take with Carrier? I mean, Trotz has talked about the idea of having, you know, quote unquote, own rentals and free agents that you know that you might lose coming up in the summer, but keeping them for this run here. And again, 19 out of the last 20 points. And, you know, Andrew Brunette had a really interesting comment on that last night and what that signals heading into the deadline, and we'll get into that and the NHL trade deadline a little bit more coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. It is NHL trade deadline day. What should the Preds do today? Your thoughts all show long on that front on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. It is NHL trade deadline day, the deadline at 2 p.m. Central today. So 2 o'clock our time is when the deadline comes about. Trades can still roll in after that, but 2 o'clock is when you have to have the trade filed with the league. So we've seen this happen before. I want to say back in the day, Joe, at the 2 o'clock deadline when the Predators made like the Philip Forsberg, Martin Erat trade. I don't think it was announced until like 30 minutes after the deadline. But so sometimes we see that happen. So just keep your eyes peeled today if it goes a little bit past the deadline. But 2 o'clock is what you have today. And the question is, what will the Predators do? They've made some minor moves, I would describe them already, with sending Trennan to Colorado and Anthony Beauvillier coming in from the Chicago Blackhawks. We'll see where he fits in the lineup. What else could be coming from the Predators today? And how does the way that they played factor into it? They've gotten 19 out of their last 20 points. And I asked Andrew Brunette after the game last night what sort of a message he feels like his group has sent to Barry Trotz heading into the trade deadline and what we could see today. Here's what Andrew Brunette had to say after the game last night.
Well, I think that the group, you know, the message from the team, the way we played is, you know, we want to win. And we're not retooling and rebuilding. We want to win right now. And we're hungry. And, you know, when we do things that make us successful, the recipe that we do it, we're a pretty good team. And I think we proved that over the last 10 games. Now there's lots of hockey left. There's more growth in this group that we're going to need to get to. You know, there's going to be little bumps in the road, you know, kind of a little bit like I feel right now a little bit. So we're going to have to be able to handle that a little bit better than we've had in the past and just keep working.
That was Andrew Burnett last night after the game. Says, we want to win. We're not retooling. We're not rebuilding. That's the message that's been sent from this group. What'd you make of that? And how do you think the way that they've played has influenced what we've already seen from Barry Trotz and what we could see today?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I think, like, again, this idea of secondary scoring not being enough and the top line having to carry these guys and everything, that's pretty much been all season with some exceptions, and it's been a great run where it's like they had it rolling all together. But still, I mean, a 2-week stretch, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's not like they've had other stretches this season that were better than others, but yeah, it's been pretty obvious if you were going to make a buy, it would be something like this. But like we talked about, it's like what's out there that is low cost that's actually going to help you, and we'll see if it does. But I think it's still, I mean, other than that, like everything else is based around contractual situations with guys they have. And, you know, I mean, maybe I'll be wrong and Trotz will score a big buy today. I don't know who the heck that would be.
They go get Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah, he's out there. That's right. How about Gensel to Carolina, by the way?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm interested to see if he signs long-term there. I mean, I kind of like the fit because they need a kind of a goal-scoring winger that way. So, I mean, he's gone. You know, Vegas didn't make another major trade yesterday, which is, you know, that's score one for the upset of Vegas not getting involved in all that stuff. You know, Anthony Duclair, kind of an underrated player to the Lightning. So, I mean, there are a lot of moves that have been made. And we talked about the big ones the other day. You know, Bowen Byram was a move that was made. He played against the Predators last night, scored a goal, had an assist. So there are some big moves that have already been made. You know, Toffoli is out there today. He's going to end up somewhere. So where does he go? And does Barry Trotz, as the deadline gets closer, is there a middle six winger out there that you can acquire that you don't have to pay a ton for? Like, they've already given up a fifth round pick. Could you get a middle six winger out there for, you know, I don't know, either a prospect or like a third or fourth round pick? Would that be something that you're interested in doing? I mean, you still got a ton of picks coming up in the 2024 draft. I mean, they, you know, even from the Jeannot trade last year and some other moves that they made. I mean, I think the Niederreiter move last year was a second round pick for this year's draft. So they've done a lot of things where they've collected picks for this year's draft. So would that make you more willing to come off a third or a fourth round pick, just knowing how much you've loaded up with this year's draft? We'll see.
Who would it be? Is there anybody that,
I can pull up names. I still don't think they're going to get involved in like Toffoli or anything like that. Right. Because I mean, I think Toffoli could come in and make a huge difference for your team, and you could put him on the second line and it would be good, but you're not giving up the price. Like, Toffoli is going to cost you a first round pick, probably plus something. Like, it's not going to cost you as much as Gensel did, but it's probably going to at least cost you a first round pick plus something else. And I still think even though they've gotten 19 out of 20 points, and by the way, you know, St. Louis lost again last night, so they're sitting pretty right now in terms of the playoff picture. I still don't think that you go crazy today and get swept up in some of these bigger deals that are going down.
Yeah, no, I mean, that would be quite surprising to me. You know, it's like you said, I mean, right now you're looking at what, basically a month here. I mean, you were in good position to getting in. That's a big achievement for this team. Obviously, if you set yourself up to be more competitive in the playoffs, fine. But I'm in general, as we've talked about, the idea of just having as much as you possibly can for whatever big move you may make down the road, I just think you stockpile stuff and you don't give up much, you know, especially for something that's short term.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Weston. Weston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Sorry if you can barely hear me. My voice kind of shot. I was at the game last night. The second goal by Philip Forsberg was absolutely a beautiful one, faking out the goalie the way he did. What I think we should do, though, is I'm okay with maybe giving up a first-round pick, because I've kind of watched this team over this last 10-game span, and last night I saw some like flaws and everything in the passing game. So I feel like bringing in somebody that has a little bit more juice, a little bit more firepower, I'm okay with giving up one first-round pick. Now, like you said, with the Gensel trade, I was not okay with giving up multiple, but maybe giving up one, just seeing what that does. You're not giving up a whole lot in the future, and I would go with it and see what happens. I trust Barry because he's won a cup, and he knows what to do and what not to do. So we'll see what happens today. Thanks, guys.
Yep, thanks for the call, Weston. Appreciate it. I mean, again, I would still be very surprised if they gave up a high pick like that. But I look, full credit to them. I mean, like I said, 19 out of 20 points. They've made this really interesting here. And you know, some other teams behind them right now are starting to sell off. Like the Wild sold off again yesterday. St. Louis is now 8 points behind them with only one game in hand. Calgary is 2 games in hand, but 8 points behind them. Seattle, 8 points behind them. So they built up a little bit of a cushion here with the way that they play. They deserve full credit for it. You know, so look, maybe that does mean that Barry Trotz will be a little bit more aggressive today. I mean, I disagree with Weston on the first round pick part of this, but there is a little bit of me that's intrigued, Joe, about like, could Barry Trotz maybe pull something today that we're not really expecting based on where they're currently at in the standings? They're wild card one, by the way.
They up to one now? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm keeping an open mind for sure. By the way, you know, our guest coming up at 7, I think Trotz is joining him to recap everything today. So that'll be interesting. But, yeah, look, I'm certainly keeping an open mind. I don't think he's going to be reckless, you know. Like Matt says, just please don't be a buyer. Have loved the last few weeks, but you're kidding yourself. You think this team is built for long-term success, fight for a championship. Yeah, I mean, can you help this team some, which I think yesterday was an attempt to do that, and we'll see if it works out, you know, while kind of working the margins. I mean, that to me is fine. And then again, as Lee W. asked, as we've talked about, you know, what about Tom Fitzgerald? You're on the clock. Oh, my gosh, you're trembling and sweating, and you just called Barry Trotz and offered him the world for UC Soros.
I don't think that's going to happen. They're trading off.
I don't think it is either.
They're trading Tyler Toffoli. I don't think that they're just going to go buy UC Soros after that. It's just my guess.
You're probably right, but it's fun to talk about.
They did win 4-1 last night against St. Louis. So shout out to the Devils for the help against the Predators.
There you go. Maybe that's all it takes, you know?
Maybe so. Get back in the race. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. More coming up on the NHL trade deadline next. What do you think the Predators should do? What do you think the move is for the Predators today, including something that I'm really interested in today to see if it actually happens or not as it relates to the Predators, and I kind of have my doubts that it will. We'll get into that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Make sure you tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Illinois State at Hawkins Field with pregame at 4:15, first pitch at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Well, taking your thoughts on the Predators, the NHL trading deadline today at 2 p.m. Central Time. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ryan in Mount Juliet. Ryan, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. If the Preds want to go for like a mid-range player, you have Mike Hoffman from San Jose, who's on expiring contract, who could help fill that middle six winger part as a right side. And also on top of that, he's also always been a great power play guy, so you can help him on the second unit. Or if you want to go for a bigger player with a little bit more captaincy, a little bit more, has a little more left on his contract, you can always ask Ottawa what the price tag is for Claude Giroux and see if he would move his no-trade clause. I think he has one to come to Nashville.
Yep, thanks for the call. I don't think Giroux is doing that, first off, and I don't think the Predators are paying what it takes to go get Giroux at this point. So I would say that one's unlikely. I mean, look, I'm looking at the TSN trade board right now, and, you know, names toward the top are obviously Toffoli, and there's a lot of defensemen that are still on the list. I don't think the Predators need a defenseman, so I wouldn't be trading for that. So, I mean, forward-wise, could you get involved in like a, Frank Vatrano in Anaheim? He's number 29 on the TSN trade board. Like, he's a good player. Pat Maroon in Minnesota. Would Minnesota be willing to move him? Like, he's kind of like a third-line guy. I don't know that he helps out with your scoring all that much, but like players like that, like Vatrano is interesting to me. There's Granlund on the list. We could get Stilly really fired up and see if they could go get Granlund
Oh,
again.
baby.
Had some people calling in about that. I mean, you could do that if you wanted to. So, I don't know that I would expect anything big. I mean, there's Jake DeBrusk, who feels like he's on this list every year. Jason Zucker in Arizona. So, I mean, there's some intriguing names that could help you. Riley Smith in Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh's begun their process of selling off.
Yep.
And Sidney Crosby does not look very happy about it, by the way, although they're 1 million points out of the playoffs. I don't know what he
Be real,
expected.
Sydney. Be
Yeah.
real, Sid. Come on.
So, could you get yourself involved in something like that? Like, I wouldn't expect, like a Giroux level type player that's, you have to give up a lot of draft capital for. But could you do one of these other forwards that you could plug into your second line and not have to give up a first round pick?
I think I wrote a column for the Tennessean in like 2018 that they should get Pat Maroon.
Yeah.
Maybe finally they'll listen to me. Well, you just said a bunch of names. So if Trotz does do something, I bet you one of the names that you listed today will be in that group, and then you can say that you called it.
I can read off all 35 names on the TSN list if you want me to. I
Well,
mean, there's
then you got your bases covered.
two Preds on there, by the way. Tyson Barrie at number 20 on the list, and Alex Carrier at 23.
We got to say goodbye to Tyson Barrie last night as he walked out of the locker room in his suit. And I was like, well,
Basically
that might
did.
be the last time.
Happy trails, bud. We'll see you. I mean, that's I talked before the break about a move that I'm interested to see whether or not happens. I mean, I talked with him yesterday about it. I mean, he's obviously, we know what his situation is. He's not playing. He requested a trade, a few months ago at this point, and his salary has been what's holding things up. And at this point, Joe, I wonder if they move him, is there a team that's going to take on the rest of his salary, or would they ask the Predators to retain some of that, and that would be their third retention spot right now if they did that. So I don't know if he's going to get moved. Like he could be, if he does get moved, it's not going to be for much of anything. I'm talking like
No.
maybe a sixth if you're lucky. But I think there's a chance that nobody just they're just not able to come to a deal, and he's just sitting here the rest of the year on an expiring contract. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's just about, I mean, there's no return. I mean, it's basically just about, can you get this guy so he can play hockey again somewhere at some
Right.
point? It's like do him a solid.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Mike in Gallatin. Mike, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey guys, good morning. So my question involves around the trade we made with Colorado. Is the defenseman that we added from Colorado, is he NHL ready compared to some of the other guys I know that were down there in Milwaukee that are getting closer? Because if
No.
that's the case, then now I'm just seeing just a pipe jam.
No, I don't
That's all
think
I
he's
got.
NHL ready. Yeah, I mean, it's a depth move. I mean, the funny thing is that guy signed an entry level deal with the Avalanche yesterday, and then got traded like 3 hours later. So, congrats, bud. Welcome to the Avalanche. Welcome to our organization, and we'll see you.
And
Taking
goodbye.
on down the road to the Predator. I mean, look, the trending part of this, we haven't discussed it much. So he goes to Colorado. First off, great opportunity for him to join that team
Yeah.
who appears to be loading up. And, we talked about Vegas and the LTIR stuff yesterday. I'm not going to be surprised when game one of the playoffs rolls around and out trots Gabriel Landeskog for the Colorado Avalanche. So we'll see what happens there. But Trenton getting a big opportunity. And look, I've felt for a while, and I think we've discussed this, the Andrew Brunette system and Yakov Trenin, probably not a perfect fit. Not that he was playing poorly. I actually thought he was playing pretty well, but I just, when you start sifting through the roster and players that I think can be replaced by prospects that they already have, Trenin was always one to me that felt like it was pretty unlikely that they were going to sign another deal. I think LaRue is kind of their long-term vision to come in and be a better scoring version of what Trenin has been.
Yeah, I think stylistically it makes sense. The best hockey of his career to date, you know, with John Hines and the herd line. By the way, the herd line. That's a pour one out. Yep. They're almost all gone. And that's interesting too. It's like the Avs. They want former Preds. Joey's out. Trennan's in. I could see him being a nice. A lot of these deals like this, they may not make a big splash, but I could see him being a nice little asset for them down the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to play on the fourth line there. And yep. I think as a fourth line player, the physicality that he brings, he does have a little bit of scoring punch and he can go out there and kill penalties. I think it's a good move for Colorado.
No, he's got some nice hands. I mean, he'll make a play every now and then that you're like, wait a minute, where the heck did that come from? So, good opportunity for him. And, hopefully for the Preds, it does. I'm going to need a little time on the name.
Bevilier.
Why am I struggling?
You and Keyser struggle with this name, man.
Yeah. Bevilier. Like you make it so easy. Yeah. I keep wanting to butcher it, but, it seems like stylistically he fits better.
I think so. The Carrier part of this is interesting too, Joe, because, I just talked about Trennan not being probably a long-term fit. Like Carrier fits the system. But is Carrier, are you like, what, number one, what sort of a deal is Carrier looking for? Like, does he want like a 4 or 5 year deal? Would he take a 1 or 2 year deal? What does that look like? And if you're Barry Trotz, like how much do you view Carrier as like a long-term piece, or do you view him more as like a placeholder piece until some of your other guys are ready? Be that a Stasny, be that a Tanner Molendijk at some point, who you just took in the first round on defense this past year. Like the Carrier part of this is interesting today too, because I do think, I think with a right shot defenseman, you could probably get a second rounder back for him from somebody. So does that, at the end of the day today, if they've not come to an extension, does the second round pick that you could potentially get, and maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think you could. Does the second round pick that you could potentially get, does that outweigh how he's playing for this team right now if you're Barry Trotz? And I wonder how Trotz views him in terms of like the long-term plan here.
That's a great question. I wouldn't be surprised if term was the issue.
Yeah.
Like I think Carrier is what he is. He's solid. I mean, he's had ups and downs, but since he kind of emerged a couple of years ago, I think he's solid. But also I think that, if you're the Preds, I'd rather give him like a 2 year deal. If I'm him, then, obviously I think you would want longer term than that. But second round pick, that's pretty enticing. Yeah. I mean, I think given what's in the pipeline, I understand the chemistry this year, the potential disruption. You are thinking about this team. If you're adding to this team, why are you going to disrupt that? You can look at it that way, but second round pick sounds pretty good.
And I could be wrong. I mean, maybe it'd be more like a third rounder, but I think right shot defenseman, pretty solid in his own end. I think you could probably end up getting a second from somebody. So that's really curious to me. I mean, we've talked about Stasny. He's NHL ready. So, I mean, Stasny's ready to play in the league, but it's not just Stasny. Like you're trying to forecast out, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, what does your decor look like? And look, if you sign Alex Carrier to a 5 year deal, I mean, that's taking a spot in that. So that's something you got to consider if you Barry Trotz. More on the NHL trading deadline and the Nashville Predators coming up next. More of your thoughts to get to, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Stilly, Jarrett Stillman, joining the program at 7 o'clock. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. It is NHL trade deadline day. We've got you covered on that, taking your thoughts on that all show long. Make sure you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Sunday for coverage of the Shriners Children's 500 in Arizona. Coverage will begin at 1:30, race starting at 2:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com. The Nyquist part of this is interesting too, Joe, not from the deadline perspective, because they're not moving him. And when they signed him over the summer, I did think, all right, well, Nyquist is a good player. He signed a 2-year deal at a pretty affordable price. He could come in, and then this, you know, this trade deadline, that could be a piece that they flip at the deadline, maybe get back a second or third round pick, and then move on. Nyquist has been great. He was awesome again last night. He set a career high in assists. He's playing great with Forsberg and O'Reilly. So they're not going to move him, I don't think, today at the deadline. So that leaves him, you know, he'll be back next year with one year left on the deal. But the way that he's playing right now, you know, there are a couple of trade targets that I had, you know, kind of heading into the season in the back of my mind of who they could move. And I thought the way that Barry played at the end of last year, that he could be a pretty attractive piece this year. And obviously it's not worked out that way. And then Nyquist, I thought when they signed him, he could be a really interesting piece, similar to Niederreiter that they did last year, that they can move at the deadline this year. But with the way that Nyquist has played, you know, I'm sure that Barry Trotz has probably gotten some calls about him based on how good he's been. And if I'm Barry Trotz, unless you just, you know, throw the moon at me, there's no way I'm moving Nyquist with the way that he's played with that top line.
Yeah, and look, if they were losing, they were out of it right now, then that might be perfect, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, I think that's a little bit too much of a disruption. That pass last night gave Forsberg had a chance to play patty cake for like 5 seconds before finally shooting, you know, on his second goal. But, no, you did you write about Nyquist, by the way? You had a lot of questions about Nyquist last night. Did you write about Nyquist at NHL.com?
Yeah, that was a big part of it.
Okay. I just had a feeling that you know – And you were at so much. Yeah, he is playing great. No, it's been really good. And I mean, look, if this team's going to do anything, you know, then those guys are going to be great, right? And I mean, some of your questions, I agree. It's like you've always thought about Nyquist as, you know, a good player in this league. I think with those two guys, it's been perfect. Now, I don't know if Trotz and Brunette envisioned it being exactly like this, but I think it's a perfect fit for him. So if this, you know, like if you're giving this team a chance to do anything, then you're keeping that line together.
Yeah. I mean, he's got 56 points in 64 games. I mean, you know, he's been a really good player for a long time. He's never been a top line guy. Like he played on the top line early in his career, and Forsberg brought this up yesterday with Zetterberg and Datsyuk. And look, I mean, those two guys were great, obviously, and Nyquist was young in his career. But, I mean, look, the last few years, you know, he's been 42 points in Columbus, 53 points in Columbus. I think last year, you know, he had, what, like 27 points total? So, I mean, you know, he's gone from 27 points a year ago, albeit in a year where he only played in 51 games. I mean, this year, 64 games, 17 goals, 39 assists, 56 points. He keeps going like this, he's going to end up around, you know, 65, 68 points somewhere in that neighborhood, which is just, I mean, that blows away anything that I expected from him this year.
So is he like Marvin Harrison? You know, you put him with good players and,
well. Yeah. Marvin, who's Gus Nyquist's dad? Is he like Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good name for Elder Nyquist.
Lars.
Yeah, there you go. Lars Nyquist. Yep, let's go with that. Why didn't you ask him that last night?
What's your father's name, Gus? Need to know. Really got to get to the bottom of this here. He's played great. And, yeah, to the point where, you know, earlier in the year, I thought, man, they really got to figure out somebody that can play with Forsberg and O'Reilly long-term. And Nyquist is not the long-term answer. I mean, at his age, you know, after next year's deal, I'd be surprised if the Predators get, I mean, who knows? We'll see. But I'd be surprised if, like, you know, the Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist was the top line for the Predators 2 years from now. But, I mean, right now he's playing great. And if you look at the rest of their lineup, it's kind of amazing to think about where they'd be without him. Like, you know what Forsberg is. O'Reilly has been awesome this year. Like, without Nyquist, I mean, it would be Forsberg, O'Reilly, and then a bunch of guys when it comes to just like the consistency level of the scoring. And yeah. I do think one really positive development for them over the last couple of weeks here, Evangelista looks really good. I mean, he's playing really well. and he's playing well away from the puck. He scored another goal again last night. If he's making an impact on the game in some way every night right now. And look, he's not Philip Forsberg out there, but he's making an impact on the game every night. And that's encouraging to see. You talk about some of the young guys coming along. Evangelista is playing his best that he's looked in his young career to this point.
No question about it. He is starting to separate himself. JD says Carlos Nyquist, so that's a that's a possibility. Well, and you know, Nyquist made the point last night in your basically one-on-one interview with him in the locker room. Look, it helps to have continuity, right? And play with, not only are they great players, you know, it's great to be a playmaker on a line like that, but also like that's the kind of thing, the chemistry. And they both talked about that play, Forsberg's second goal, and how they both kind of read it the same way. You know, I mean, there's something to that. I mean, the consistency of those guys being together. Like you said, if it wasn't for him, then it would be. It'd be a total revolving door. And O'Reilly and Forsberg would still have good seasons, but it's enhanced when you have a guy like this complimenting it and having that consistency every night.
TJ on Twitter says, at this point, Barry should be open to going after a big name. The farm system is in good shape. You're loaded with picks. If you can get a big-time guy that you can have for several years, not a rental, go for it. Well, that's the problem. Like, I agree with that. Like, if you can get a big-time guy that you feel great about being, you know, a top six forward for you for years to come, sure, go for that. I mean, I'm cool with that. You know, I think the question is, I mean, more of the guys that are going to get moved today are rental players. So are you willing to give up big prices for rental players? And to me, the answer is no.
Right. Like to your point, you know, the Canes, they have not been a rental player team, right?
Right.
So the thought is that this is going to be a long-term move for them with Guentzel, right? Well, we'll see if it is. But that's, I mean, if there's somebody, how old is like Giroux? Like how old is Giroux right now?
I mean, Giroux has got to be 35 at least. Let me look and see.
I was thinking maybe like 32.
He's 36.
Oh, geez. Okay. Yeah, never mind.
Let's stay away from that one.
Not that 36 is old in real life, but, you know. But, you know, like yes, sure. If you got someone who has some term and, you know, for whatever reason it becomes available, then, hey, maybe Barry Trotz, you know, shakes the earth today.
He could. I mean, I will say, I'm leaving the door open for a move that kind of knocks my socks off a little bit more than I was this time a week ago. I mean, look, as much as I probably still wouldn't do it, I do think in reality in the NHL, and Evangelista kind of said it last night, I mean, you only get so many cracks at the playoffs throughout a career, and, I mean, they look like they're in pretty good shape to be in it, to have a crack at it right now. So, again, I don't know that I would say I expect something today, but I'm leaving more room open for a bigger move than I anticipated maybe this time a week ago.
You're setting everybody up to be disappointed, man.
I am. We'll find out at 2 o'clock. 615-737-1025. Our phone number coming up next. We'll be joined by our good friend Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators and the NHL trade deadline next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.